Good morning. And welcome to worship. It's good to be here. Who's looking forward to Christmas now? Good. That's what I like to hear. So I'm going to hand over to Rob, and he's going to take us through some of the intimations.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book. Gift day thanks. A massive thank you on behalf of Kirk Session to all who made donations towards our gift day. Your generous donations are very much appreciated, and the funds raised will be used to meet our building's running costs. The total raised so far is standing at an amazing, George?
£2,275.
Thank you. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. The church is taking part in the Warm Spaces initiative once again. The church is normally open on Thursday afternoons between 1 p.m. and 5 until the end of March. This week, 19th December, there is a special Sanctuary Cinema event with the film White Christmas. For this week only, doors will open later than normal at 2:30. Advent and Christmas services. We have several special services coming up, our traditional nine lessons and carols, service at Limekilns tonight, our Catch family service next Sunday, and our Christingle family service at tea time on Christmas Eve. Finally, we will have informal gatherings in church for watch night and our Christmas morning. The dates and times are all available. And finally, other intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. And the duty team today is on tech is George and Derek. My assistant is Rosemary, and it's me. Thank you.
And one other intimation is just so that you know, well, you'll know why we're a bit later on Warm Spaces, and that's because Hazel's funeral will take place on the 19th at 1:30 in church, followed by a service of committal at Dunfermline Crematorium. But that's 1:30 here on Thursday for Hazel's service. And of course, we remember Alec, Lorna, and the family at this difficult time for them. Something I should be doing. I've been forgetting things all morning. Any ideas what I might be needing to do? You don't know. What do we do through Advent? Who's got an Advent calendar? Right, what do we do in church? We don't have an Advent calendar in church. Right, I think we maybe light candles. Are there people who haven't lit a candle this year so far? Right, you better come out. That's one. Anybody else who's not lit a candle and would like to? There's two. And we need three. Will we ask one of the older boys and girls? Who's not lit a candle and would like to light a candle? All these people who turn shy when it comes... Go on, Sandra. I knew you would be up for something like that. So, who'd like to light the first candle? You think Henry would like to light the first one? I don't know. Right. I'll just leave that. Right. Any of the red ones. Just one red one. You're going to do that one. That's a good one to do. Yeah. That's good. That's great. Now, Henry, would you like to do the other one at the back? Can you reach that far? Well done. That's great. Because we'll do one of the front ones with Sandra so it's safer. Well done, Sandra. Right. You going to blow it out? Well done. You're good at blowing out candles. Right. So let's, I think we should we sing? It's a good idea to sing at Christmas, I think. So we're going to sing about humble shepherds watching their flocks. So hymn number 296. Almighty God, receive these gifts. Bless them to your glory as they are used in the work of your church. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I was having a wee look in what is, I suppose, really my shed. It's an outhouse on the side of the manse, and it has bikes and tools and all sorts of stuff in it. In fact, a lot of it, there's a lot of junk in there too that will have to be cleared out someday, but not today. And there I saw something that reminded me of Joseph. Now, I've got to say to Robert and Rosemary, because they'll pick me up on this, I did not steal this. I bought it. I bought this from Gala Shields Academy, because it's got a big Gala Shields Academy stamp on it. And when I was at Gala Academy, they began to modernise the tech department. And that's not tech like these guys up there. This is real tech. And for the huge price of 10 pence, I got this. Do you know what it is? You don't. Have you never used one of these? What is it?
It's smooth by wood.
It's
smooth out wood.
It's for smoothing wood. It's a thing called a plane. Now, the modern ones they were getting were metal, and they had all sorts of little knobs that you turned and you could alter the blade and all the rest. This is a proper plane. This is real. This, I've been using this for something like 50 odd years since I was at school. It's shaved off the bottoms of doors because they were catching on the carpet. People have said, I've got this bit of wood, I've got the plane that will do that. And this is a very simple thing to use. If you want to adjust it, there's a wedge that holds a blade. You take the wedge out, you adjust the blade, and you put the wedge back in. And I very carefully retracted the blade for today. I thought that would be safe. I even gave it to somebody who's preschool to hold it down in Limekilns, much to his mother's kind of, is this safe? Why do you think this reminded me of Joseph? Who is Joseph? Who's Joseph?
He might be a boy or a girl.
He might be a boy or a girl, yes, he's certainly one of those. I think he's a boy.
A baby boy.
Not a baby, no, that's Jesus is the baby at Christmas.
Yeah. So who's Joseph then? Jesus is born in Bethlehem.
Yes, he went to Bethlehem. And Joseph had to go to Bethlehem with Mary, and that's where they had Jesus. But what do you think Joseph's job was when he wasn't going to Bethlehem?
To watch after the sheep?
He didn't look after sheep, no, not as far as I know. You think this might be a clue? Since I use this with wood, what do you call somebody that works with wood? Do you know? A carpenter? A carpenter or a joiner?
Builders.
Builders, yes. And in fact, that's what the word really means. In the Bible, the carpenter was somebody who built things. So Joseph would have helped build houses. He would have helped people in their houses. He would have fixed tables that were broken. He would have fixed doors. He would have done all sorts of things. And I wonder if he maybe had something a bit like this, because planes have been used for thousands of years. And this one is probably much like what was used. It's a big chunk of wood, and it really works. It's very, very ordinary. I think in the Christmas story, when we see Joseph, we should think about people who do all the ordinary things, because we don't know much about Joseph. We're going to talk about that a lot more later in the service. We know that Joseph was there. We know that he was there with Mary, but we don't know much more about him. But he must have been very important, because God trusted Joseph with Jesus. And Joseph must have taught Jesus how to use things like this. So when you see the picture, just think how important Joseph really was in the story. So I'm going to put this away, and I think we're going to sing, and I'm trying to remember what we're going to sing.
Child in a manger.
Good. We're going to sing Child in the Manger.
Yeah.
thought we'd have a prayer first. Now, there is a backstory to this, because I got to the end of the service at Limekilns, and one of my elders, who didn't speak up in the service, said, "You know, you missed out the prayer." Completely oblivious to missing out the prayer, so I was remembering it here, Derek. Let's worship God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we look forward to the celebration of Jesus' birth, as we travel through Advent and remember all that Christmas is for us, we raise our voices in song, we raise our hearts in praise. We think of the wonder of the incarnation, the joy of Jesus as Emmanuel, the joy of your great gift to humanity, the wonder of your love, the joy of knowing who we are as your people. We think of the familiar words that we read year after year, and yet words that never lose their wonder or their promise. We give thanks for the child in the manger, who is Lord of all. We rejoice in the faith of Mary and of Joseph. We think of shepherds rejoicing and magi offering gifts. Guide us in our worship to share that same joy and wonder as those who first welcomed Jesus into the world. Here in the light of your presence, we are well aware of our human frailty. You reach out to us, longing to restore and forgive, to strengthen and to bless. You want to make us right. So here in your presence, knowing that Jesus came for our salvation, came for our forgiveness, we confess before you. We lay before you those things that need your forgiving and healing touch. With grateful hearts, we receive the forgiveness you offer. In Jesus' name, we are forgiven, and our guilt is no more. We pray that through this season of Advent, through Christmas and on into a new year, you will guide and guard us as we seek to live out our faith. Enable us to reveal your light in our living, and all to your glory. And now hear us as we use Jesus' words, as we say the words of a prayer that is said across your church. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now, a short reading from the prophet Isaiah and the story of Joseph as it is recorded in Matthew.
Thank you, Norman. So Isaiah first, chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And we go to Matthew's Gospel next. And we're reading chapter 1 from verse 18. The heading is The Birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
We sing now, "Still the Night, Holy the Night," hymn number 309. When casting a nativity play, the lead female role is Mary. When it comes to male roles, there are more to choose from, but probably it is Joseph who takes centre stage. In the nativity play, Joseph's role is often to take the lead in terms of leading donkeys, speaking to innkeepers, and maybe particularly standing tall in that final tableau that we associate with things like Christmas cards. In our Advent study book, the chapter on that we're looking at this week is simply entitled Joseph. So I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to find all the carols that mention Joseph. And it's difficult, because Joseph is hardly mentioned. If we go to the Gospels, we find very little information on Joseph. In Matthew and Luke, Joseph is referred to as descendant of David. In Luke, the reason for going to Bethlehem is because he is of David's line. Mary is pledged to be married to Joseph. Joseph is a carpenter or general builder by trade. When we turn to John's Gospel, Jesus is mentioned as son of Joseph, and that is the only mention of Joseph. Twice the name is used in John's Gospel, and there is no mention of Joseph by name in Mark's Gospel. The last time we hear of Joseph is when Jesus is presented at the temple, age 12, in Luke's Gospel. And then, apart from saying that Jesus is known as Joseph's son, there is no mention. It might come as a bit of a surprise, but actually, if you look at carefully at the birth stories, Joseph says nothing. He has no lines. We are simply told who he is in relation to Mary and what he does in response to the dream or vision where the angel speaks. It's quite strange considering that he is chosen by God. Maybe this is the reverse of the saying, behind every great man is a great woman. Matthew notes that Joseph is faithful to God's law, but is clearly compassionate and caring. There would no doubt be a very difficult situation for Joseph. The way that it is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, if you read between the lines, it is as people notice that Mary is expecting that Joseph decides to act. He must have been badly hurt, but his decision is not to make things worse. He wants simply to quietly break the relationship. I was thinking about that saying, behind a great man is a great woman, and I wondered, what was the origin of that saying? Well, nobody quite knows. It's been said a number of times. But what I did find was an awful lot of negative comment, as you would expect from the internet. Some said that this was a typical statement in a male-dominated society where only men can take the lead role. And then others commented that this was anti-male rhetoric, suggesting that a man could not be successful in his own right. Now, thankfully, there were one or two positive comments. There was the occasional voice of reason that said, of course, individuals can be great in their own right. They neither need a man nor a woman to support them in that. But perhaps more importantly, the suggestion that for many people, success or greatness is a product of cooperation or partnership. In our Advent study book, Graham Hill, in trying to describe Joseph, likens him to the father of the bride at a wedding, or at least the traditional role that the father of the bride took. In Hill's words, nobody takes much notice of him, but he pays for everything. Last week, we were thinking of the cost to Mary in terms of her faith and obedience. But what about Joseph? He too would pay a price for his faithfulness. As it becomes clear that Mary is expecting, questions will be asked. Many will either condemn or pity Joseph. Has anybody here ever lived in a village and heard the kind of gossip that goes round? He's either going along with Mary's story of the angel, the poor fool, or he's going with it because actually he's the one at fault. There is a reputational price to pay. Then there is the Christmas story as we read it in Matthew and Luke, that journey to Bethlehem in Luke's gospel, and then the flight to Egypt in Matthew's gospel. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. It might have been better for Mary if he had quietly put aside that engagement. Last week we noted that the church has not always been fair to Mary. Some theologies make her what she is not, and some deny who she is. In some parts of the church, Mary is elevated to a place that denies her humanity. In others, her humanity is so emphasized that we lose the very special calling of God. But perhaps we're even less fair to Joseph. Not entirely our fault. We have so little information. That said, we do know that Joseph is called by God just as much as Mary. Joseph is much more than the solemn figure standing beside Mary in the traditional nativity scene. There is the part of the story of Jesus that we know nothing of. The years between Bethlehem and meeting John the Baptist at the River Jordan. In that story, Joseph would have played a greater and greater role. As Jesus went from baby dependent upon Mary to the boy spending time at Joseph's side and the man learning and working alongside Joseph. We don't know what happened. We don't know what happened to Joseph. He simply disappears from the story. The Gospels are silent. And yet, he must have been hugely important. God chose him for a very particular role. Mary and Joseph, the partnership chosen by God as those who would nurture the humanity of Jesus. We are introduced to Joseph as a man of courage, compassion, and care. We find a man of faith ready to listen to God, and maybe more importantly, a man who will go on to do what is a very ordinary yet vital part of God's call to him. He's simply not remembered for the majority of what he did. And maybe in some ways, we should remember Joseph because of that ordinary job that he did. I have been involved in quite a number of funerals over the last wee while. And over my ministry, I've been involved in a significant number. You wouldn't maybe be surprised at how many children, in talking of their parents, say, "I'm not sure what to say." Because that mum or dad, well, they did ordinary things. And I've always said, well, were they a good parent? And they are, oh, yes. And I said, do you know what the most important job in this nation, any nation on this earth, is to do a good job of bringing up your children? And they went, and they go, oh yeah, I suppose you're right. And there is Joseph. And in partnership with Mary, yes, we remember Mary more, but Joseph is there too, doing the ordinary things. Where did Jesus learn about his humanity? Yes, with Mary, but maybe much more at Joseph's side. His reward for being faithful to God, I suppose, is to know Jesus in a way that is utterly unique but unrecorded. And maybe a reminder to us, in the ordinariness of our lives, in the mundane tasks that we think unremarkable, it's doing those things well, doing those things for God as part of our calling to be the people of God, that makes us who we are to God. And the judgment upon us is not what's recorded, but what God says. Joseph was unique. He had a role to play. So as we go through Advent and on to the celebration of Christmas, maybe just give Joseph a special thought. Because in many ways, that's us, the ordinary people of God, whom God honours and calls as much as anybody else. Amen. I chose the next hymn because it talks about a world then, and it talks about our world now, about our need for all that Christmas really is about God's salvation. Yes, we're singing about angels, but we're also singing about a world in need of salvation. So let's sing hymn number 303, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
Oh,
We offer now our prayers for others. Let us pray. Almighty God, hear us now as we pray for those in need in our world. We pray in the name of Jesus, Prince of Peace, the one who came as light in the darkness, the one who carries our sorrows and offers life in all its fullness. We think of those who, living in darkness, look for light. We think of those who hope for a better tomorrow. We think of those who fear for the future and struggle to find hope. We think of the people of Syria as they celebrate the end of dictatorship and hope for a future that is better. Our prayer is that their hopes for freedom become a reality, that their hopes of a land that accepts all people is something that comes true. As we pray for that part of the Middle East, so we remember that ongoing conflict in Gaza, the week by week news of continuing destruction and loss of life, so little hope of light in the darkness, so much struggle simply to survive. And also in Ukraine, a conflict that seems never ending. So many people killed, injured, driven from their homes and communities. So many living as refugees in their own land and spread to other lands looking for safety. As we pray for peace, we do so knowing the great fear of this time, that the conflicts of the world today could so easily spread to become something so much worse. Our prayer is that you will change those who seek power by force, and that you will strengthen those who are the peacemakers of the world. As we pray, as we remember those with authority and power, we pray for South Korea and the political turmoil there. Guide those who must make difficult decisions. President and Parliament and the people. We think of the United States of America as that nation goes through the process of changing president. And all that means not just for the people of that land, but for the world, because that nation has such power to influence the lives of others. As we pray for our world, we also remember our own nation and the need for wisdom in those who lead us. And so we pray for governments and administrations, for those who lead parties and those who make decisions that affect the lives of people under their care. We seek the wisdom to know what is right, but also the courage to do what is right. Not just for those whom we elect, not just for those who have power, but for us too, as the people of this country. We also think of those who serve us day by day in their ordinary lives, doing ordinary things. So much of what we know from the news is negative and about what is wrong or evil. Remind us of the good that is done quietly and peacefully to the best of the ability of whoever it is that is serving. Remind us that these are the people that you honour. And remind us that what we do unrecognized in society is recognized by you, our God. And for the church, we pray, strengthen your people through this season of Advent. Reveal in us the light of Christ. Be with us in our thinking, in our words, and in our actions. Give us the courage we need and the assurance that what we do in faith, you will surely honour. And now a quiet moment to offer our private and personal prayer. A moment to remember those for whom this is a time of celebration. A moment to remember those for whom this is a time of sorrow. We thank you for the promise that what we ask in Jesus' name, you will surely answer. Give us grace, acceptance, and courage as we wait for your answer in your time. We offer all of our requests, all of our prayers, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hymn 320, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.